Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the latest brazen attack on the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, with an apparent collusion between the DC Circuit's Republican judiciary and the Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell, who sent the president a letter on Friday vowing to block the renomination of the current head of the CFPB, Richard Cordray, until Congress passes a bill to neuter the bureau. Jeff Connaughton, the author of The Payoff, Why Wall Street Always Wins, joins us to discuss whether the banking lobby's Republican hirelings and the courts will succeed in eliminating any consumer protection from an industry that all but destroyed the economy. Then we will speak with investigative journalist Max Blumenthal, who just returned from covering the elections in Israel and the riots in Egypt. We will discuss the secular and religious divide in Israel that was reflected in the elections and in the current horse trading going on now as a coalition government is being formed, and the same divide in Egypt between the secular youth who propelled the revolution now battling in the streets against the religious government that stole the revolution. Then finally, with today's Super Bowl celebrations underway in New Orleans, we'll look into the future of the increasingly violent game of football that has led to over 4,000 lawsuits from NFL players seeking damages, blaming the league for minimizing brain damage in its long-term effects. Veteran sports writer Robert Lipsight joins us to discuss whether the brutal collisions in football can be minimized without losing fans of this multi-billion dollar spectator sport. Joining us now is Jeff Connaughton, the author of The Payoff, Why Wall Street Always Wins. He previously worked for 4 years as an investment banker, first at Smith Barney and then at E.F. Hutton. Additionally, he served as special assistant to the counsel to the president in the Clinton White House and then as special assistant to then Chairman Joseph Biden of the Senate Judiciary Committee and later as chief of staff for Senator Ted Kaufman. He was featured extensively in the recent PBS Frontline special, The Untouchables. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeff Connaughton.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks for having me.
And am I correct in suggesting this is a 1-2 punch here against the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and its head, Richard Cordray, in as much as the D.C. Circuit Court overturned the ability of the president to have recess appointments, one of whom was, of course, Richard Cordray, and in a ruling against the National Labor Relations Board, there's also a subsequent suit affecting the new Consumer Protection Board. They've essentially told the president that his appointees are void, if you will. At the same time, Mitch McConnell sending the president a letter on Friday basically saying that they're not going to reconfirm Richard Cordray unless unless he accepts a bill from the Congress essentially neutering the agency.
Well, the president has a constitutionally valid ability to appoint recess appointments. That's clear. The question is, when is Congress in recess? And the court in this case ruled that while a Congress is sitting, you know, normally after an election, you really count that as the new Congress taking its seat in January after the prior election. But during the 2 years of that Congress, what the president did was while they were not literally in session or were in sort of pro forma session or had left town for a few days, used that as an opportunity to say, okay, I'm making a recess appointment. And the D.C. Circuit said, no, that's not valid. You can only do it in the recess at the end of the Congress. So Cordray, who is currently serving as the acting director of the CFPB, he too was appointed during one of these so-called recesses. And until the Supreme Court rules, or the court rules on his particular case, I mean, his position is in jeopardy because of that court ruling. And yes, the second punch is that the Republicans, even though the Dodd-Frank bill was the law of the land, you know, in establishing that there shall be a single director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, it'll be a part of the Fed, it'll be funded by, Fed monies, which come from fees applicable to banks. They're saying, we don't like the law of the land, which we didn't participate in helping to construct in the first place, and we're just going to simply block him as a minority.
Well,
and that's very troubling.
And, of course, this is the bureau that was the brainchild of now Senator Elizabeth Warren, and you work for Senator Ted Kaufman, who replaced Joe Biden, filling out his term. And of course, he was an unusual senator, your former boss, in the sense that he didn't take any money from anybody and just did the people's business and not the lobbyist's business. You pointed out, of course, that not one Republican voted for the Dodd-Frank financial reform legislation that led to the construction of this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. But I'm surprised, and you were featured heavily in the PBS Frontline documentary, The Untouchables, that asked the question of how come no Wall Street bank has gone to jail for almost destroying the global economy and causing this recession and impoverishing the lives of millions of Americans. And that answer still is hanging out there. And you were actually quoted in Sunday's New York Times column by Gretchen Morgenson asking about the Treasury's kid glove treatment of the big banks. But what the Senate's now doing is such brazen fealty to the banking lobby. I mean, isn't there any shame there? Do you think the American people, they must know what happened on Wall Street. They must know what happened to their pocketbooks, their lives, their families, their relatives. How come they're not mad at these people for getting away with it?
I wonder about this every day. I mean, there are certainly people listening to this show. There are people I talk to every day who are angry, who understand what's going on with bank power in Washington. But there's nowhere in our political system to go because the Obama administration, frankly, has been very pro-bank. I mean, that was the point of Gretchen Morgenson's column in the New York Times today, that Secretary Geithner was a friend for the banks, and that the banks rarely lose. And it all comes back to the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, because Elizabeth Warren's idea was that in the lead-up to the financial crisis, none of the bank regulators looked out for the consumer. They were all somewhat captured by the banks, and that there needed to be one seat at the table that was specifically for looking out for consumers, to be a counterweight to the power of the banks. And now the Republicans have banded together to try to neuter, as you say, even that seat at the table. So it's very discouraging. I think all people can do is continue to talk about it, talk to their senators and their members of Congress, and try to put pressure on them. And we'll see if in this second term of President Obama we have more willingness at the Justice Department, at Treasury, to stand up to the banks on occasion.
Again, I'm speaking with Jeff Connaughton, the author of The Payoff, Why Wall Street Always Wins. He previously worked for 4 years as an investment banker, firstly at Smith Barney and then at E.F. Hutton. Additionally, he served as special assistant to the counsel to the president in the Clinton White House, and then as special assistant to then Judiciary Chairman Joseph Biden of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and later as chief of staff for Senator Ted Kaufman. He was featured extensively in the recent PBS Frontline special, The Untouchables. So, there's been some fallout from the PBS Frontline special, The Untouchables, with the resignation of Lenny Brewer, who is basically the assistant attorney general in charge of prosecuting Wall Street. And throughout the documentary, the PBS Frontline producer, Martin Smith, kept trying to find out from him why nobody's gone to jail. And he was breathtakingly evasive. Is he going to go back to Wall Street? Is this a part of the problem, this revolving door between Wall Street and Treasury and justice and back and forth? I mean, we've had...
Well, right. I mean, Martin Smith certainly made a very convincing case that the Justice Department has been too passive, too unwilling. I mean, there were whistleblowers on the program, dozens of whistleblowers telling stories about fraudulent mortgages, defective mortgages, the failure of the banks to sort of live up to the standards of what they were saying were in these packages, and yet the Justice Department had never even talked to them. I mean, PBS found two high-level insiders in the criminal fraud division at the Justice Department who said to PBS that there was, that justice was overly fearful about losing that there were no, you know, really active investigations going on, that, you know, the assistant director of the FBI admitted on camera that he had gone in on multiple occasions to talk to the assistant attorney general about cases and had been argued down, really, from the Justice Department bringing those cases. So it's just not very credible that the Justice Department can maintain that, you know, there was ever a sort of purposeful, concerted effort to hold Wall Street to account. And Lanny Breuer's own speeches, you know, in his own words, he's admitted that he was concerned about the health of the banks, that he didn't want, you know, a prosecution to cause fallout in the financial industry. And that's just totally inappropriate for someone whose responsibility is to prosecute criminal laws to be acting like he is some sort of financial stability regulator. So it was an effective documentary. I mean, I think Lanny Breuer was on his way out of the Justice Department anyway, but someone inside the administration leaked to the Washington Post the very next day after the documentary that he was leaving soon. So I think it helped to sort of cement the impression that the Justice Department and these task forces, the two task forces that the president has appointed, have just so far done a extremely poor job in holding Wall Street to account. And we'll never know if any could have been, you know, held guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, because as Martin Smith says, I mean, if you never take the bat off your shoulder, you never take a swing at a pitch, you know, you won't know if you're going to get a hit. And that's really what our Justice Department has been doing. They've been leaving the bat on their shoulder for the last 4 years.
So, Jeff Connaughton, as now we're about to have a replay of last year's fight over confirming Richard Cordray to head up the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And in this letter that Mitch McConnell sent to the president on Friday, it's breathtakingly cynical, because we know what his motives are, which is to essentially neuter the bureau, which came out of Dodd-Frank, which came as a result of the Wall Street crash, and no Republican supported Dodd-Frank. And McConnell saying, quoting his letter, "As supporters of strong and effective consumer protection, we write to you to reaffirm our concerns over the transparency and accountability of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau." But what they want to do in the small print, which is the real intention, is they want to turn it into a board, as opposed to having a director who can actually direct the bureau. And you know, and all these other boards that we have, you can see what happens when you have a board, these nominees have to be confirmed by the Senate, which now the president can't get around, because they've at least in part blocked his ability to do recess appointments. For example, the Federal Elections Commission is a joke. I mean, it's completely paralyzed. You know, that's what they want, isn't it? I mean,
they want the power of the purse. They want to be able to appropriate money. And once, you know, there is an appropriate role of oversight by Congress into the role of these regulatory agencies, but too often members of Congress use their power of appropriation to bully the agency into not being aggressive, you know, because they're receiving contributions from Wall Street, and their Wall Street patrons are telling them, you know, this agency is being unreasonable. So they don't currently have that power over the Consumer Financial Protection. They don't have that power over the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. I mean, the main bank regulator, other than the Fed, is also run by a single director. It's also self-funded. So, you know, we don't have the Republicans saying we should have a five-member board and congressional appropriations of OCC, because, you know, they see that bank regulatory agency is already a very pro-bank regulator.
Well, isn't the evidence clear that the Officer of the Control of the Currency did not put forth one criminal referral to what happened after the 2008 crash?
Right. I mean, they've even admitted they don't believe that's their role. You know, whereas we know from the savings and loan crisis that it was only the criminal referrals put together by the bank regulatory agencies that provided the roadmaps to the FBI to actually develop these cases, which led to the prosecutions and convictions of hundreds of SNL executives. So we've had a complete cultural collapse in our bank regulatory agencies in caring, about helping law enforcement to enforce the law. And that's a big problem. And that's something that's happened since the SNL crisis, in which Senator Kaufman, when he was in office, tried to get the Justice Department to get the bank regulatory agencies to start helping again on that front. But, you know, too often they're all but a fraud enabler rather than a fraud enforce, an arm of the fraud enforcement mechanism.
But at this point, what's happening now with McConnell's letter and with the D.C. Circuit Court's opinion last week, essentially what we have now is that the only reform that came out of the aftermath of the 2008 crash, which was the Dodd-Frank bill, the main part of that bill they want to get rid of, which is the creation of this consumer financial protection bureau. So that's where we stand, really. It's and to me that is such an alarm bell. I'm astounded.
This is why Wall Street always wins. That's why I picked the title for my book, because their armies are relentless. They never leave the field. They never get tired. They never run out of money. They never stop fighting. You know, and the consumer voice in Washington has diminished to there are certainly a hearty band of people who are trying hard, but, you know, they're just completely overwhelmed and outnumbered and outfunded by the power of the banks.
And because your former boss, Senator Ted Kaufman, didn't take any money and was doing the people's business instead of the lobbyist business, he actually got something done. And that's the nub of the problem, isn't it? That our legislators are for sale.
Well, he would deny that. He always hated when the media said that. But, I mean, I certainly believe he is symbolic of what we would get if we got money out of politics. Because he was a full-time senator. He didn't have to spend half his day calling people for money to fund his reelection. I mean, when Senator Kerry gave his farewell speech at the Senate, I mean, he talked very bluntly about how, you know, we really have to do something about money in politics, because there's just too much effort by these senators to spend, you know, half their day with the people who are willing to fund their campaigns.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Jeff Conaton.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Jeff Conaton, the author of The Payoff, Why Wall Street Always Wins. He previously worked for 4 years as an investment banker, first at Smith Barney and then at E.F. Hutton. Additionally, he served as special assistant to the counsel to the president in the Clinton White House, and then a special assistant to then-chairman Joseph R. Biden of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and later as chief of staff for Senator Ted Kaufman. He was featured extensively in the recent PBS Frontline special, The Untouchables. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with investigative journalist Max Blumenthal, who's just back from covering the elections in Israel and the riots in Egypt.